are generally expected to live up to some sort of code of behaviour. And if you're powerful, you can protect your privacy. Ordinary people live cheek by jowl and know every bit of each other's business as often as not, having less choice in anything, and for some, life is scraping by and just about paying any taxes that might be due. But behind their closed doors, the wealthy, the powerful, the privileged can live very differently. Privacy is precious, especially in places where there are strong religious or moral principles. So when secret goings-on become known, there's a buzz. There's talk about it, and everyone has a view. Opinions are expressed and shared. Let's think about that in Herod's day. Herod was ruler of a chunk of the empire in those parts. He's Jewish, admittedly not particularly devout, but more than just nominally Jewish. He has divorced his wife to marry Herodias. She has divorced her first husband. It gets better. The first husband was Herod's half-brother, and who is father to her daughter Salome. So they were all related. And they plotted and they schemed within the family as to who would come out on top. Jesus and John, as we know, were related too, but more distantly. John's prophecies recognised Jesus as the Holy One. And when he baptised Jesus and many others, there were no special privileges, there was no special status accorded to Jesus. Both of them lived very different lives. Both were attuned to God and God's will. Both died young and true to their beliefs. So John's judgment in the situation, his opinion, was worth something. When he spoke against Herod's marriage to Herodias, she took it hard and she wanted him dead. He needed to be silenced. Because in life, John was not a man to be kept quiet. So Herod had him arrested, but he wasn't otherwise harmed. But then there is the fateful party for the men of power, at which Herodias' daughter Salome dances like a dream, and John's head is the prize which Herodias demands. So Herod finds himself between a rock and a hard place, but he has brought it on himself. The Bible shows us other situations which caught people out. It's generally by blind over-promising. Jephthah promises to sacrifice the first living thing he sees on his return from his triumphs. It is his only and dearly beloved daughter. The big lesson, perhaps, in all of this, or one of the big lessons in all of this, is that head, heart, hand, and spirit need to be all of a piece if we are to make a grand gesture. Herod didn't have a lot of choice. Once he'd said it, he couldn't climb down. Because how can your army commander put your soldiers' lives, and perhaps their own, on the line for you? How can they trust you if you back out of a promise? Herod is publicly weighing his integrity, his soul if you like, against the security of his country. Of course his public credibility comes into it too, and the security of his reign and of his dynasty. And really, whatever happens, he can't come out of it well. that gospel reading offers us the chance to ponder how we might approach things which put us in that most uncomfortable places, between a rock and a hard place. We watch Herod forced to choose the least worst option. It's politically sensible, though painful for him personally. All the Herods want power and status within that area of the empire and within the family. So they divide and they rule. The Herods were powerful in their time, but their time has gone. The epistle sets us a bigger vision. It's nothing to do with dividing and ruling status and power or how to come out on top. It's about bringing unity to all things, in heaven and on earth under Christ, to the praise of his glory, seeing that things are all of a piece. Everything and everyone is part of this, even if we don't have an inkling of how it might all fit together. It's not about fighting to claw our way up some hierarchy, nor is it about codes of behaviour by which we can justify ourselves. It's about profound change within each and every one of us, all of us. It's about conversion. It's brought about not so much by what we believe, but the person in whom we believe and trust, namely in Jesus. We commit, in as much as we're able to live and work, with or without words, to the praise of his glory. Not our own, not any other system, but as part of the unity of all things, in heaven and on earth, under Christ. Amen.